Good morning. This is a BOE hearing. Today is Thursday, April 11, 2024. The hearing is for petition E-099-23. The appellants are John and Tammy Slack, parcel number 1-0598-401-1731-006. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Okay, this is a residential hearing. We usually allow about 30 minutes for this. We'd like to hear the 10 minutes first from the appellant, then we'll hear 10 minutes from the assessor. We'll have a few questions back and forth, and then we will adjourn and we'll deliberate. So with that, you may proceed, Mr. Slack, or whoever's right. Presenting.
Okay, I'll start. First, I'd like to say I'm really kind of disappointed with the organization of this group here. We were supposed to have our meeting, our first hearing in January, which didn't happen. Then it got moved to April, and it was last week, and they moved it to this week because of spring break, which was, thank you for that. And the notice I got said, hey, you're going to get an email with a link to this for this meeting. On an email, and I didn't get it, and I asked this morning and on email and didn't get nothing, and I was looking for a phone number for you guys, and I tripped across this link here, so that's how I got in. So It was just almost dumb luck or just me searching to find out, okay, what's going on here. Anyways,
I can explain one thing on that. Why sure. January didn't happen because our clerk resigned, and we were short one board member, and so we had to reconstitute ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we just started a couple weeks ago.
All right.
And I apologize for not having the link, though.
Okay.
And I did send out a link reminder on April 5th, which was last Friday.
So
I'm not sure what happened with that.
Okay. I didn't get it. I looked in my spam, too, and I didn't see it. So anyways, all right. I didn't present any more than what I already had sent in for the initial appeal. I thought that was sufficient, so I didn't gather any more evidence. But I will have a few things to say here. So we've lived in this house for 33 years. Our property taxes were roughly $1,000 back in 1991-92 timeframe. Now they're over $4,000. We're retired. On your flyer that you sent out with the, you know, hey, your property valuation goes up doesn't necessarily mean your property taxes will go up. Well, we got our property tax bill here a month ago or so, and it's due here after your 4 week appeal, so I already got to pay half of it. But it went up 21% from what it was last year. So this is pretty steep, and it's like, and It's the same house. It's not, nothing really is different. It's just older. Yeah, we've done some improvements to it, no doubt about it, in our 33 years we've lived here, but it's still the same size, still the same house, and we're not going to move. This is where we're going to stay for the next 30 plus years. So, so that it just seems really unfair to continue to pile on taxes with no change in what is going on here in our home. So it's just, well, I know I'm venting, but
yeah, okay.
But it just doesn't seem right.
Well, the assessor will explain some of that to you, but what's been happening is you probably watched in this area, you know, this area continues to grow. The new housing developments are coming in, more people are coming in. And in 2022, especially, 21, 22, the market rates just went crazy in this area, you know, because there was a limited supply of houses and more demand for houses than houses were available. And so prices went up. In 23, there seemed to be starting to trend down a little bit for whatever reason, probably interest rates as much as anything. But it's the market that drives the value that's assigned to your house. And so you've given us four comparable properties. Now, I noticed you listed two in Benton City, which is a little far afield from where you are in West Richland. And you've got 20, 21, and a 23 sale, which is after the assessment date. So, but we don't have any other information here to allow us to adjust these properties to see how they are comparable with your house. So I'd like to hear from the assessor at this point and have them go through their package and maybe speak to your comps.
Can I throw in a little bit there?
Sure.
Okay. The reason that we use properties we use is we are rural. And we are 2.58 acres. We have, you know, a different setup here, and our classification is different than city folks. So we use properties that we could find, and what, like on our street, folks usually die off the street. They don't sell their houses. We've known these folks for 30 years. Our kids grew up together. It just seems to be the nature of where we're at. And so the properties in Benton City were the closest sales we could find that were comparable to our properties. So we didn't have much else to go on. I mean, we could look at newer numbers now, yeah, that's kind of where we're coming from on those numbers. So
yeah, and okay. I spent a couple hours trying to find comparable properties that were
agricultural kind of related.
Yeah, that are older homes with some land that were, you know, semi-similar that had been sold, or you know, in that time frame, like you guys wanted it. So that's how I got way out to Benton City, and Rupert Road area. So that's how I got it. So anyway,
okay. Okay, I see the assessor has picked up six properties, but let's see. I see one, well, three of them are less than an acre, and only two of them, only one is approaching your land size. So they may have had the same problem you did. So, but let's hear from them at this point.
Okay. Sure. Before I go into our evidence, I noticed in your petition that you mentioned that you didn't qualify for the senior exemption because of the $40,000 amount. I don't know if it's going to help at all, but that did increase to $56,000 this year. So just be mindful of that. And again, when it comes to the taxes, you know, the assessed value is based off of, you know, the market sales and how that feeds into the taxes that are due. It's not just because your assessed value increases a certain percentage doesn't mean that's going to be an equivalent proportionate increase with the taxes. We rely on our taxing districts and legislators and then even voters when they vote on the levies on what gets passed. All that feeds into those levy rates and those tax rates. So that is also an additional factor when it comes to the taxes. And everyone's feeling that pain with those increases, as George explained, with just the growth in the area and everything. So I just wanted to mention that. For the assessor's determination of value, it's $374,910 with an effective date of January 1st, 2023. Like the appellant stated, there's a lack of sales of those two-story homes on acreage, those comparables. There's not much there. So we pulled sales that were most comparable. We weren't able to use your sales that the appellant provided because the first one, it's a manufactured home in Independence City. The others were one stories, or the one was a 2023 sale. And so we were looking for multi-level homes, preferably on acreage, you know, within those rural areas, or, you know, adjacent to those rural areas where it's more of a mixed kind of a blended area. The other thing to note is the appellant's land value, we do have a topography adjustment. So while the subject property is on about 2.5 acres, we do have a topography adjustment on there to account for a large section of that back portion. I guess it's more of like a, it's unbuildable. It's a kind of, I guess, would you guys describe as being swampy, I guess?
Yes.
The rationale is, so we have that adjustment on the land to account for that. So in my comparison grid, you'll see I have properties that are on less than an acre and those that are on acreage, because I wanted to get that full picture of that bracketing of where you would, you know, of the minimum and the maximum range and probable range for your property. So comparable one. So that one is 10 years older than the subject, and it has less square footage, and it sits on less than an acre, and that sold for $350,000 in 2022. Then when you look at comparable number two, that's 17 years newer than the subject. It's similar in size, and that's just over an acre, and that sold for $400,000 in 2022. So with this subject's assessed value, it is logical that that would fall within these two sales.
Jennifer, quick question. When I just look at the little thumbnail pictures, their comps one and two don't appear to be two-story from what I'm seeing there.
Yeah, so we, again, because of the lack of sales, we pulled multi-level homes. So those are one stories with bonus rooms.
Okay, so they're not entirely comparable then.
So they're multi-level homes. It's the best you could find, again, due to the lack of sales. Three, four, five, and six are two stories.
Okay.
Those sold significantly more, but again, four, five, and six, they're on acreage. But we have that adjustment on the subject's land again to account for the entire 2.5 acres isn't usable.
So comp three is also is that a one story with a bonus also?
No, that's three comps. Three through six are all two stories.
And from the thumbnail, it's hard to see the second story on that. But okay.
Yeah, so we pulled multi levels to try to get a fuller picture, just due to the lack of the sales.
Okay, and I noticed that the appellant's land value at $34,320 is substantially less. And is that speaking to the swampiness of the land?
Yes, the topography issues that are pretty severe on the property.
Okay.
And that was established back when the property was in active revaluation, because again, we set the land during those active revaluation years where we do our inspections and recalibrate and recalculate all the values. So that was set back during the last revaluation, and then this coming year, because they are in revaluation area five. So next year, we will be looking at that area of the county again, at the land values. So all of that will be revisited and reevaluated at that time.
Okay. So it's been 5 years since an active reval.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So can I ask a question real quick? Does
sure.
the age of the home, so you guys have the age of the home at 1960. It's way before that. Way before that.
I may speak to that. That I was kind of interested in history. And so when we first moved in, I went into the county in Prosser. I spoke with a gentleman named Pee-wee. He was very helpful, and he showed me, he gave us a map from way back. We don't need this anymore. But he also talked about this house. The house that we're in was the original first house in this area. And they are the ones who short platted all of the neighborhood down below. We actually got to meet the gentleman and wife team from Idaho. They came to visit one day. We were putting up some stuff outside, and they came in and talked about wells and all kinds of history on this place. But Pee-wee told us that this house was here before the canal came through. And I think that was 1920 is what I recalled. And there are still components of this house that have not been upgraded yet. And when I talked to the county the first time we were here and the price went up, it's like I just put some flowers out front, you know, I don't know what happened. And he said, no, he goes, if we charged you the actual data when that house was built, he goes, we'd get nothing. So we just kind of updated it to, you know, bring it current. So the actual date of most of the house is before 1920, the floors and some of the walls and structures. There has been two or three add-ons. The garage was added on, and then another room up front was covered when, and then I think the kitchen was the same, because the lady who lived here a long time ago stopped by the house. I guess her husband died, and they came back here from Seattle or something and met us outside and wanted to see this. Oh, look at the steps, are the same steps we were when we lived here, and is that old truck still down in the field and that kind of thing. So as far as the age of this house, it's a lot older than what's being listed currently. Most of it, I would say, not all of it.
Would you have documentation to show the age of the home, and then also the which sections were additions?
Unfortunately, we don't have that.
Not on hand, but yeah. I mean, I could research that if you'd like.
Yeah, we don't necessarily have that info specifically.
I do have an article from somewhere, article regarding the folks that we met here, and I took a photo of the folks when they came here and stuff, so I can get that together. I found his the gentleman died, and I found his death thing in the newspaper, and it talked about the history and what he did and when he came here and that kind of thing. So those are things I could look up.
Did Pee-wee provide you with any documentation?
The folks that came here?
No, Pee-wee, the guy you talked to at the Benton County.
He gave us an old picture of the house before the add-on was on. He goes, we don't need this anymore. Pulled it out of his file. And then they gave us a map of the area. And it was kind of funny because it was a mess. Anyway, there's pencil, there's red, there's blue ink, there's pencil, because people traded property back and forth constantly.
Right, right. Do you have that documentation still?
I do.
Yeah.
I have that map, and
That map probably has a date on it, right?
Okay, I can go look right now.
Okay. See if you can find it.
Yeah. So to your point, we would need to, after we receive the new information, we would need to revisit the record. But just at like a first look at this and hearing this, so the home itself has had extensive updates done to it since its original build. When I first saw the picture of the home, I thought, oh, that's a 1960s home. I thought it was like a 1990s home, just the style of it and the updated exterior, right? So the fact that you're seeing it's 1920, I'm like, whoa. So if we were to change it to a 1920, which we need documentation in order to do that, but if we were to change it to a 1920, to be honest, it would be a well above average condition for a 1920 home.
Yeah.
Right now it's being valued. With that being said, right now it's being valued as a 1960 average condition home. So whether we value it as an older home with major updates or slightly newer home that's average, the value is pretty comparable. I don't see much change happening with the value, even if we were to, because we would just change the levers. We change the age down, but the condition up. It would end up being recalculated to a very similar determination here.
So that's the 1916 average conditions.
Oh, right there.
27.
20 in good condition.
Just so Chris just recalculated it for you just quickly here.
60,000 acres.
Chris just recalculated it here under the hypothetical condition that we change it to a 1920 build in very good condition, and it would actually value your home 60 grand more.
Wow.
Than a 1960 average, because a 1960 average is that all the, you know, everything, the guts of it and everything, the components are the original and have depreciated over time and are you know, about 80 years old now.
This is one.
Or, right. No, 80. Yeah, 60 years old now.
Yeah, we did a major update of the house around 2003. We refinanced the house and redid the roof because of all the add-ons. There were different roof pitches and a flat roof. Anyways, so that's what really drove the look of the house to be, yeah, like you say, it's. It doesn't look like a 1960s or 1920s home, because you know, we had that done, and then we ourselves did all the new siding and painting and all that stuff. Not that that matters to you guys.
No, but our electric's not good, and we need to upgrade. Yeah. If we ever want an electric car, we have to upgrade because it's
so. So what about your wiring inside the house? You know, back in 1920s, they often had those two prong or even.
Yep.
So, exposed wiring.
Yeah. Tube and knot. And when we had the roof redone, there was tube and knot insulators in the attic. We saved a couple of those, of course, because hey, it's what you do. But yeah, so there definitely has been upgrades for the home. You know, in the 30 years we've been in, no doubt about it. But I just go back to just because the whole region is pushing prices up doesn't necessarily mean that people like us who retired have to pay into that for this. So
not so dramatic.
It's you know, you say it's comparable and stuff, but it's not necessarily.
No. And the first map I came across has 1963 on it.
And you probably can't
see. You probably can't see.
Yeah.
Because this is our area here, which doesn't have the houses listed on. This is actually West Richland is right here. But yeah, so, and it has a floodplain and all that fun stuff. But Richland's on the other side. But I do have a photo of the house he gave me, and I can find the other map if need be. I just happened to come across this one, and I know you said 30 minutes, so.
Okay, so you said floodplain. Is your house in a floodplain?
So no, the house is not in the floodplain. It's up on the hill.
Well, we're classified because the hill's right outside our yard, about X amount of feet, and then it drops down. And so that, I guess, with the insurance thing, they were saying, we'd have to do this special thing if we ever need to do that. So if it ever eroded from a flood, if that dike gives way, and it's flooded twice heavily, that the river got up to the top of the dike, and it went all the way from the dike all the way over to Richland, and folks were using boats to get to their house on the second story, and they sold it and became the golf course. And when I walked on that dike, it was soft. It was terrifyingly soft. I got off and my neighbor's kids come up and stay in our house, hoping that would be enough. So that's just a reality that we live with on this
sector. All right.
So if I can ask a question. So I assume there's no improvements to the floodplain area. You know, you
not
have
really.
Any crops out there or anything?
No. Oh no, it's too wet.
No,
especially now. There's a slough, a coon slough under the ground over there, and it's backed up.
Yeah, he's a commissioner with the slough, so he's helping to try to take care of that and keep an eye on the pump house.
How about the piping in your house? How old's it? The
plumbing. Well, sections of it, especially in the first part of the house of the 1920s part. Is still original. In fact,
iron pipes, and I'm complaining all the time about the water pressure because I'm like, we're going to do something different.
So, but there have been improvements in some of the house, especially so the second story is above the garage. And that's the only part that's really second story. The rest of it is just the roof got matched to what to make it look right. So a good portion of the house is one story, and you probably see that on your documents there.
Okay. Well, it looks like I'm seeing two dormers there. So you're saying those aren't really rooms?
That's correct. Those are like big, those are like big skylights.
I wanted light in the house because it was so dark.
Oh, okay.
Fannies all over.
Okay.
It put light through. Yeah. It's just light.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Those are like big skylights, which makes it really nice. Right now, we don't have any lights on. We're sitting in our dining room, as you probably can tell. And there's no lights on, but there's light from natural windows.
Yeah, it's very, very, very bright there. Yes.
Yeah. It's we like it.
Yeah, it's good. Well, okay. Well, here's what we're left with as a board. I mean, we have the assessor telling us, you know, that if they adjust your house back to the say 1920 ish. And revalue it at above average condition, it will be more than what you're currently valued at.
When that's interesting. I just said that's interesting because when I talked to Petey, he said we have to move it up to at least 1960 when they upped our taxes for the first time. He goes, if we left it at 1920s or earlier, he goes, you'd owe us no taxes. So I that's interesting. Yeah. You know how that works.
So probably you're better off just leaving it at 1860. As far as the comps, you know, if I were to throw out say those first three comps, the remaining three comps come out in the high 300 area, which is, or even low 400 area. I don't know. Chris would have to recalculate that for me. But, you know, from what we're seeing there, it isn't giving us a basis to really say your houses should be valued different than what the assessor is saying. On the houses you selected, again, some of those are older comps. We know that in 22, especially, market values went up substantially. We've seen that on other houses that we've been looking at. So at this point, I don't see how we as a board can really change the assessed value based on what you're giving us at this point.
Well, I don't know what else there would be to give you besides, you know, the actual condition of the house and the age that most of it still sits at. And use dramatic improvements compared to the other houses that were built earlier. Again, the basic bones of this one were way back when,
right?
According to that gentleman talked to.
I understand. Well, one thing, you know, if you really wanted to better understand that, you could pay, you know, have a fee commission appraisal done. But quite frankly, I'm not going to. I don't think it's going to show you much different than what the assessor is already showing you. Because he's got to find the same problems that aren't that many houses on acreage comparable to yours, and you know, and when you start making large adjustments, that really suggests that the house really isn't, you know, one house isn't really comparable to another house. So, I mean, you're getting a really good deal on land. I could tell you that just by looking at this. And
man, it's a lot of water. If we grew some rice, we'd be okay. But other than that.
Yeah.
We got some muskrats down here occasionally, so
if I can add this is not part of our scope, but it looks like you might qualify for the senior program you know, based on income and age, so you might take a second look at that after this hearing.
Well, and you know,
but I mean,
this isn't in you guys' perusal, but I guess, you know, looking at again, having it go up again next year, it sounds like they're going to do this again. you know, we've supported the community. I worked at the prosecutor's office for a while as a victim advocate, and I worked with SARC and everything else. And so we've, you know, our kids were raised here and they're here still. But, you know, we can't do anything about this. The only other option is voting on police and all that kind of stuff. We've always been very supportive of that, but money wise, it starts to look, you know.
Well, yeah, but like you know, remember, I think the limit is, what do they say, 56,000 around that now. So depending if your income is under 56,000, you would qualify for senior exemption this year. And that number tends to go up a little bit every year. So.
Yeah,
you may find that if you don't qualify this year, you may qualify next year. So just something to keep an eye on.
Okay.
Okay. Anything further from you people?
From us? No.
Nope.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything further from the assessor?
No additional comments here. Thank you.
Okay. Peter, any questions?
No, just thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Slack.
Yes.
Well, thank you guys for hearing us out. A little delayed, but hey, definitely wanted to, you know, let you know how we feel about the property tax business. And
yeah, we understand.
On the ground reality.
And sorry to hear about the process that wasn't smooth, but I appreciate your feedback on that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess at this point, let's adjourn and we'll deliberate and you'll get our letter within 4 weeks, probably sooner than that. But
thank you for your time.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Good morning. This is a BOE hearing. This hearing is for petition E-165-23. The appellants are Dean and Nicole Dennis with parcel number 1-2489-108-0000-028. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Mr. Dennis?
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Okay, this is a residential hearing. We allow half an hour for this. For the first 10 or so minutes, we'd like to hear from the appellant on his petition. Then we'd like to hear from the assessor's office. We'll have a few minutes of questions, and then we'll adjourn and deliberate. So with that, Mr. Dean, you may proceed.
So I submitted the you know, the previous tax years, and I guess I don't know how all this works. So, you know, I know you guys, it sounds like the decision's already been made and it's not really, I don't even know if this hearing's worth it, but yeah, there's just no way the house is worth what it's being assessed at, and the area around there doesn't support that price on that. That valuation is not supportable by the surrounding homes.
By what?
There's no way. What's that?
By what evidence do you make that assertion?
Well, comparable sales in the area.
Okay, well, you've given us one, which was after the assessment date. You've given us one comparable sale, which was after the assessment date of 1/1/23. Your comments suggest that the market has been declining in 24, and I would agree with that. But this is the valuation as of 1/1/23 to be used for taxes payable in 24. So next year, it'll move forward 1 year to 1/1/24 for taxes payable in 25.
Well, again, the value even in January 23 was not over $600,000, but the surrounding homes don't support that at all.
Okay. But you've given really nothing to, you've given us no evidence to support that assertion.
Well, there's no evidence that supports the valuation either, but other than somebody said it's that's what it is.
Well, okay. The assessor has there. Have you seen the assessor's package that they sent you?
I don't recall if I have or not. I don't recall receiving it, but this has been a absolute cluster. I mean, the thing was scheduled for, I think, February, and I don't remember this. This thing has changed around, and then I got a notice that it's going to be a WebEx meeting during the work week,
I apologize for the rescheduling. We had lost our board clerk, and we had a board member who recently passed, and we had to replace the board member, and so it took us a while to get back to a point where we could hold hearings.
Sure, so. That's understandable.
Okay.
I really don't have much more to add. So.
Okay. I'm sorry you didn't get the assessor's package, because that might help relieve some of your concerns. But let's hear from them at this point. So, okay. Jennifer.
Yeah, so the assessor's determination of value is $658,580 with the effective date of January 1st, 2023. And again, with the appellant's concerns with, the rising interest rates, the assessed value is of January 1st, 2023. So we looked at years prior, historical data, because we don't predict the market. We look at the historical data, and with the 2022 sales carrying more weight because they're more relevant to the market conditions as of January 1st of 23. While the subject is a 2003 build, I will note that 689 square feet was added in 2013. And then another 795 square feet was added in 2023. So the total living area square footage is over 3,700 square feet.
Excuse me, did you say, Jennifer, excuse me, did you say the last addition was in 2023?
Yeah, correct.
So okay, that would not be relevant, right?
Did you say 2013 or 2023?
2013 and then in 2023.
Right. But the 2023 edition wouldn't be relevant, right? Because the assessment date was 1/1/23.
The permit was taken out in July of 2022. And then the following summer during 2023 is when we pick it up. We pick it up within that first year. So that 2023 is when it was added to the tax rolls. But construction began in 2022.
The construction was completed in November of 2023.
Well, I think that's, excuse me, but it seems odd if we hold the ground of it's got to be everything before January 1st, 2023, it seems unfair to include the addition that wasn't done until 2023.
Yeah, that's just the way state law operates. But Mr. Dennis, you mentioned that it wasn't completed until November 2023 because it's new construction is picked up as of July 31st of 2023. That's the state law. So with that, you mentioned it wasn't completed until November.
Now I'm trying to recall because I think it actually might have been August of 2023 is when it was completed.
Okay. Yeah, because it's
I guess it would be with the city, right? I mean, so again, I'm trying to be 100% honest here. The order of occupancy from the city would have the exact completion date. Wouldn't that be correct?
So we whatever exists on the property at that time is what we value. So we did have an appraiser go out on August 10th, 2023 to verify that it was done. It appeared done at that point in time. So yeah. I would assume it was 100% complete as of July 31st. If it was 100% complete, it was 99% complete as of July 31st. So regardless if we were to change that 1%, it's not going to be much of a difference, to be honest, when it comes to the improvement value.
Well, I mean, so how is the assessor evaluating whether it's 90%, 80%, 99%, whatever it is?
Right. Is that from an external?
I didn't finish my question. Sorry.
Yeah. So when we look at the, so we'll look at if we have access to the building department's inspections, that will provide us an idea of the status of it, of the property, of the new construction. So we have a scale that we use where, you know, if it's just foundation only, that will be a 14% of the total value that we will value it. If it has more, if it has exterior coverings, but the interior isn't yet finished, then it's a 70%. So we have a grid that we use in determining the percentage complete based off of the status of the construction of what exists at that time as of July 31st.
The construction worked is, you know, it was obviously foundation framed exterior. And then, you know, there was no occupancy until the interior, which took the most amount of time. So I'd be interested to find out when we got the final occupancy. I wish I had that information, but we couldn't use that house until, you know, we built that for my mother-in-law to live there. So it's.
Could you describe the nature of the addition?
It's an apartment that has an adjoining door to what used to be a window, was made into a door, and the apartment is a one bedroom with a family room and kitchen and a bathroom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was my mother-in-law moved here from Colorado, and built that.
Approximately how many square feet was that?
It was just a little less than 800 square feet. Okay. I think you guys have it correct, like 796 or something.
795 square feet.
Okay. I agree with that. Okay. No contention.
Okay. So, Jennifer, you say, so that value is as of July 31st, is that what you're saying?
Yes, for the new construction.
Okay, so you...
With 100% of the new construction?
It sounds 100%. Like, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is interesting that you know, everything is based on 2022 values, but then if it's new construction, that it's that value is added for 2020 from 2023.
Yeah, that's state law. I do know why they do that, Chris. I don't. It's just
to maximize taxes, obviously.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
I was just generally speaking, the reason why they set hard dates of January 1st for revaluation and July 31st for new construction is because, you know, on a daily basis, and how real estate works is people are always buying, people are always selling, but because we have yearly deadlines and we have those dates are established by the Department of Revenue, and they give the separation between revaluation and new construction to make sure that those are addressed correctly for budgetary concerns with the municipalities.
So the valuation of the new construction is then backdated to 2022 for the comparables?
Yeah, the valuation, the 2023 assessed value is based off of the 2022 market.
Well, that is just...
Because we can't predict the market. You know, as of when we finalize these figures, I think you received your change of value notice was mailed out September 8th. 2023 wasn't completed yet. We didn't have the full data set for the entire year to do an analysis on what the market was doing in 2023. So we are required to look at previous years because we can't predict the market.
Okay, so question, you're showing the subject property at 3784 square feet. That includes the addition?
Correct, yes, includes both additions.
Right. And the three bathrooms, apparently he said there was a bathroom in the addition. So is that's also included?
It should be. Is your home 3.5 baths total for the, you know, both the mother-in-law and the
That's correct.
Living area? Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So
can you discuss your comp sales?
Yes. So the home is over 3,700 square feet, and it's difficult to find homes of a similar age and size on acreage in the area. There's just a lack of sales. So I include comparable one that is it's about 3,700 square feet. It is 26 years older than the subject, but again, it was included because again, all the other comparables were over 1,000 square feet smaller. And again, more ways placed on the 2022 sales. If you look at comparable number three here, that is a 2021 sale. It is about 1,400 square feet smaller than the subject. It's the closest to the subject. It's kind of right around the corner there. And it's also on an acreage lot. That sold for $550 back in 2021. With the market increase in 2022, an average increase of about 14% between those 2 years, you would assume that comp three would have sold for more than $600,000 in 2022. So when you look at the subject being 1,400 square feet larger, it is reasonable to assume that the assessed value then would fall within, you know, that mid-range in the 600s. That's just another way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is the home was purchased in 2017 for $391,000. The 2022 assessed value was only $439,990, and that was prior to the addition being added on.
Excuse me, are you speaking about the subject property now?
Yes, the subject. So I understand your concerns, Mr. Dennis, with seeing such a large increase from the $439,990 for 2022, and then it bumped up to $658,580. Portion of that is the new construction value for the addition, but the majority of it is due to the increase in the market.
Well, increase in the market, but also falsely claiming 797 square feet that shouldn't be part of the evaluation because it's outside the scope of the valuation period. So again, it's like you guys were picking numbers out of thin air, claiming it's a state law, but you know the valuation values are based in 2022 for projects that weren't completed until 2023, but I'm being taxed on it in 2020 based on 2022 values at the higher rate. It's kind of ridiculous if you think about it.
Well,
it should be a value.
Yeah, my hands are tied. We have to follow the law. I don't know what to say to that.
Well,
from my perspective, how difficult would it be? I mean, just to understand the potential impact, if we took out the addition, what would our calculations change?
So the addition added $69,860. So the total would have been $572,106.
Okay, thank you.
69,000, what'd you say, 860?
Yes, that was what was attributed to the
addition
construction costs.
Is that what you paid for the addition, Mr. Nims? Mr. Dean?
Oh, no.
I have the permit here. The value is $151,435 for the permit value.
So what did you pay for the addition?
Well, that's kind of, I mean, a lot of other things are added to it, you know, as well, like the appliances and stuff like that that aren't part of the addition. You know, it's the construction. Okay. Under the permit, the construction is made, and then you add, you know, we had added a sink, obviously, added, you know, refrigerator, the stove, right, all that kind of stuff.
But you had to pay the contractor a certain amount of money that didn't include the refrigerator and the appliances. So,
right, it was like $150,000.
Okay.
I paid sales tax and all that, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, actually, so it looks like you're getting a, you know, somewhat of a deal there because you paid 150, but they're only assessing you at $69,860 for that addition. So,
oh, I don't hardly say that's a deal when I pay 8.7% on 150 and then I get to pay whatever the percentage is on value that shouldn't be in the value calculation. So I don't know how that's a deal, but I guess I look at it from a realistic standpoint.
So let me be clear that I understand. If the new addition wasn't counted, the assessor would appraise it at $572,106 versus the current total value of $658,000. Or is that compared to 548?
No, it would change the land value stays the same, Peter. So the total value would come down.
And 572,106. Is that right?
But
572,106 instead of 658,580 assessor.
Right, but that's not what the law says.
Law doesn't say that, but you know.
So if I can speak to that because I looked it up, it's RCW 36.21.080. The county assessor is authorized to place any property that is increased in value due to construction or alteration for which a building permit was issued or should have been issued under chapter 19.27, 19.27A or 19.28 RCW or other laws providing for building permits on the assessment rolls for the purposes of tax levy up to August 31st of each year. The assessed valuation of the property shall be considered as of July 31st of that year.
July
31st. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That year being what?
The year that the...
The assessment year.
The assessment year, I would assume, yeah.
Well, the assessment year was as of 1/1/23.
Correct, but the 23, and because it was new construction, the county assessor is authorized to place any property that has increased in value due to that construction, looking to August 31st, with an assessed date of July 31st of that year.
Being 23.
Yes. There's something kind of similar. This is tangentially related, but it's another instance of that happening. Would be if someone buys a house, regardless of when they buy a house, if they paid $300,000 for a home and the assessor had it at like $500,000, they're allowed to appeal and they're allowed to look at the date of when they purchased it. It can kind of supersede those types of things. So this is another example of, it's January 1st for the effective date, but when there's new construction, when there's exceptions that are to that, it changes that effective date.
Okay. And according to that, so the look back period is really from August 31st, right?
Because of that additional stipulation that they had new construction put on it, yes. If there was no new construction that was done, no permit, no record of it, and an appraiser happened to not see it, then it would have been that January 1st. But because
I'm talking about the specific instance here now. So the look back period would have been at the end of August. Your appraiser went out there early mid August, August 10th apparently.
August 10th. Yeah.
So, and the appellant says the project was completed in August. So I think either way you cut this thing, you know, that under the statute, it has to come in.
You said the wording is authorized, not shall, right? So basically you guys can do that if you so choose.
But then there's but it's a consistency thing. We can't do it for one person and not do it for another person.
Correct.
Well, that's
okay.
Well, I guess there's nothing else for me to add to this. As I assume that the decision's been made, it's kind of a kangaroo court, right?
Well, not really, but it's based on what you present us, right? Based on evidence, the law requires you to present evidence to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. So the assessor, Washington State, gives the presumption of correctness to the assessor. So most times the assessor will prevail, but there have been times where we've overruled the assessor. So it's not cast in concrete, but just for giggles, could you guys look up the appellant's 4908 South Auburn Place in 23, early sale of 23?
Oh, the sale, yeah. So that one is a rambler with a basement. It's a different home type. The living square footage is 750 square feet. So it's about, 2,000 square feet smaller in terms of the above ground living area. The basement is 1050 square feet. That one, it's on 0.23 acres. So it's less than a quarter of an acre. And that sold for $561,000. In 2023. So it's about 1,000 square feet smaller than the subject. It sits on less land and came in at 561 in 23.
Okay, so if you were to make your adjustment, such as you made on the other properties, what would that adjusted sale be?
Whoa. Let me see if I can run that quickly enough. I don't think I have my link.
I do.
Oh, I do. Wait. Yeah. I So let me share my screen. Share. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Yes.
So this is the subject versus the appellant's Rambler with basement comparable that sold for $561. After all the adjustments are applied, the adjusted sales price is $691,050.
What was that again?
$691,050.
Oh, 50. Okay. Okay. So $90,000 more than the sale price. Oh, no, more than 100.
No, yeah, it's
more than 100,000. Okay, 100.
Yeah, because there's significantly more living above ground living area square footage on this subject.
Okay, all right. Okay. Anything further, Mr. Dean?
Mr. Dennis.
No, thank you. Yeah, Dennis is the last name, but that's confusing.
Oh, everybody. Okay.
Well, my wife finally gets it right. So.
Okay, well, it said Dennis Dean on here. So, okay, all right. Sorry.
No, no, no problem. No, no, okay. No problem. Yeah.
Okay. Anything further from the assessor?
No additional comments.
No, thanks.
Peter, any questions?
Well, I'm struggling with this one. We'll need to discuss it in deliberation.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think we have all we're going to get for this. So, Mary Lou, let's go ahead and close the hearing, and we'll excuse the participants, and we'll deliberate.
Thank you for your time, Mr. Dennis.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you for your time as well. Guys, have a wonderful day. Thank you.
You too.